Hi everyone, thanks for staying to the last presentation of the last session here, APHA. And my name is Sue O'Neill. I'm a senior researcher at Mathematica Policy Research. And before I begin my presentation, I'd like to thank and acknowledge the other folks that participated in this study or this analysis and report that we did. That would be Laura Rutner, also at Mathematica, and Melanie Steves and Anita Christie, who are at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And I'll talk a little bit more about how the Massachusetts Department of Public Health was involved in this. Okay. Since it's a PDF, it's different. So I have no relationships to disclose at this time. So in terms of our learning objectives today, what we would like to talk about is present our results and also talk about some of the facilitators and barriers to cancer screening knowledge and behavior. So we're going to present descriptive results and also just talk about some of the regression findings we found about associations. And then in this context, use the findings to discuss strategies to promote cancer screening in light of the increased coverage that's happening with ACA at this point and what these findings really mean in that kind of environment. And Massachusetts is actually a great place to use to talk about this because Massachusetts had health reform before ACA, so all of the preventive services that are getting covered under ACA were actually covered under health reform, and there was insurance expansion before ACA, so it's almost a great kind of simulation of what ACA might be in other states. So let's talk a little bit about the project. There was funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for the breast and cervical program and the comprehensive cancer program. So that's where the funding for the project comes from. And so this funding was provided to the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And as some of you may know, funding for breast and cervical cancer and comp cancer happens in all of the states in the U.S. So this is a program that's implemented nationwide. This happens to be one Massachusetts's adaptation and tailoring of the program to their state. And what, as part of their BSEP and comp cancer project, what they did as part of that, a component of that, was to fund 14 community-based health centers to provide health education to promote screening using this Helping You Take Care of Yourself curricula. Now, this Helping You Take Care of Yourself curricula comes in many modules. There's breast, there's prostate, there's colorectal. There used to be a cardiovascular one, and so on. I don't remember all of them, but there are quite a few curricula. But we're focused on breast and prostate cancer in particular. And the aim of these CBOs is to outreach disadvantaged populations which tend to not have high screening rates, though the screening rate overall in Massachusetts is actually pretty good for breast cancer, is to reach the disadvantaged populations that are not maybe getting into screening, women ages 40 to 64 and men ages 40 and over. And in particular, I'll talk about our target population next, Black, African-American, and African immigrants, in particular, for the men. So what were we interested in assessing in terms of the project? So these CBOs are going out, they're giving out these health education workshops, and we wanted to understand different facets of this project. First of all, of course, we wanted to understand implementation in terms of how is the reach happening? How are they implementing? How many sessions are the CBOs giving? What's going on with that? And so we looked at the education workshops as they were implemented between May 2011 and July 2012. And then we want to understand who are they reaching? What's the reach of this program? So we looked at the demographics and insurance status in particular. We were very interested in insurance status given that Massachusetts had health reform at this time. All the participants in the workshops were asked to fill out a demographic form. And we actually have these forms here if you want to take a look at them afterwards. And they, the demographics form asks them all sorts of questions about, you know, their age, their race, ethnicity, if they had had screening before, and other things. And then the next thing we wanted to assess was knowledge gain. So if you attend these workshops, what happens? Do you really learn anything? So there is a pre- and post-test form that they all fill out. All the participants fill out. It's five questions that are during the pre-test and the same five questions during the post-test after they receive the workshop to assess their knowledge gain. And then another unique piece was that we wanted to understand knowledge retention. And when we say knowledge retention, the difference between knowledge retention and knowledge gain is that knowledge retention is, do they actually remember what they learned 6 months post-education workshop? And then we also wanted to look at screening behavior. Did they go get screened? Did they talk to their doctors about screening, especially if they were indicated for screening? And indicated for screening, the target of this program for indicated for screening, and I realize it's different than guidance that is out there, is women who didn't have a mammogram in the last year. And as I mentioned earlier, black men ages 40 to 64. And the women are 40 to 64 as well. So I'm going to turn it over to Irina now to talk about our results. And it's very abbreviated. We uploaded some supplemental tables. I'm not sure if you guys can download them, but if you're interested afterwards, we're happy to send you the 20 pages of other tables we have. So I'm turning it over to Irina.
So as Sue mentioned, I'll be talking about implementation and some of the results from the study. So we worked with 14 community-based organizations for this study. They taught workshops for breast health and prostate health, and three of the organizations taught both topics. So overall, 120 workshops were conducted in local communities in Massachusetts, and of all educated, 618 women were in the target age range of 42 to 64, as so mentioned, and 246 men were in the target age range of 40 to 64 and also self-identified as black or African American. So as you can see, the range of participants varied for the CBOs. The range was 11 to 124 for breast health workshops for total participants per CBO, and for prostate it was 8 to 55. So out of the targeted and educated, 280 women were indicated for screening and were eligible for our follow-up survey. And 100 women completed the survey. And 246 men were eligible for the follow-up survey, and 127 men completed the survey. So the goal was to reach the disadvantaged and disengaged populations in the communities, and the CBOs were largely successful at doing that. For breast health workshops, over a third of women were minority race and over half were Hispanic. For prostate health workshops, we specifically targeted black or African American men, so 100% were of minority race. Over half of all participants were born outside of the United States. And in Massachusetts, most of the participants, they did have health insurance. However, as you can see, about half of the women, over a third of men, were on Medicaid. And 45% of women and all men were indicated for screening and were eligible for our follow-up. So we analyzed the data from the pre- and post-test to assess knowledge gain. And as you can see from the charts, 43% of all participants had an increase in score. About half of the participants did not have a change in score. And the reasons for that is that the baseline knowledge in the target populations were relatively high. So most of the participants in these groups, they had a score of 4.0 out of the 0 to 5 scale already. And so the mean score for breast health workshop participants was 4.0, and the mean score for prostate health workshop participants was 3.6. And furthermore, we analyzed the data from the follow-up test, and we compared it to the pre-test and the post-test. So about half of the participants, they experienced decreases in knowledge retention about breast and prostate cancer 6 months following the workshop. So just to show you the magnitude of the decrease, the mean score dropped from the post-test from 4.6 to 4.0 in the follow-up for breast health, and for prostate health, it dropped from 4.3 to 4.0 on the follow-up. So in terms of screening behavior, we looked at participants who received cancer screening before the workshop. So for breast health workshop participants, we looked at women who received a mammogram within the past year, and for prostate health, that included men who received a DRE or PSA test, and that included 53% of women and 65% of men. And then as follow-up, we asked the follow-up survey respondents whether or not they received the screening after the workshop, and if they didn't receive a screening, we asked them if they scheduled a screening in the future. So about 45% of women and 56% of men, they received or scheduled cancer screening after the workshop. And of those that actually had the screening, they said the 80% of women and 90% of men, they said that the going to the workshop influenced their decision to get the screening. And we don't show the data from the regression results, but the three most salient factors influencing receipt of screening were having a regular healthcare provider, having health insurance, and little or no out-of-pocket expenses. So we'll go over the go back the key findings.
Yeah, so I'm just going to summarize for you our very abbreviated results. So in terms of knowledge gain, you can kind of see that the workshops led to like a little small short-term increases in knowledge. A lot of the people that were reached actually had pretty good knowledge of breast and prostate cancer and the reasons for going to get screened. And in terms of knowledge retention, they actually didn't really, there was limited knowledge retention. And then in terms of screening behavior, it was not necessarily the knowledge probably that was associated with going to get screened, but something else about the workshop, it seems, did influence these people in terms of getting screened. Maybe it was the motivation of having somebody present this information to you. There's something else about the workshops, interacting with others, that really was positively associated with screening behavior. And then it also showed that having insurance, low out-of-pocket costs, and I'm repeating what Irina said about our regression results, and having a regular healthcare provider were really key influencing factors. So what does this mean? How do we put this in the context of a policy or program? So what it means is that there are gaps in knowledge in the underserved population, and you have to continually educate if you want them to retain this information. But the other thing is that the key thing I took away was that these workshops, that there are still barriers to coverage and linkage among this population in particular. As you saw, 50% were on Medicaid. There were some with no health insurance as well. That in the environment of healthcare coverage and expansion, what this says is you need to, even if there is coverage, they may not be getting that coverage. They may not be signing up for that insurance. And that insurance is a really important factor to getting screened. And they are
there's not necessarily having the low out-of-pocket costs because they're not signing up for that, and then they're not being necessarily, if they have insurance, being linked to PCPs. So if you want people to get screened, expanding coverage is not enough. You actually have to get them covered and then get them linked to a PCP. And actually, the next iteration of this project, what Massachusetts is doing is they're doing, I'm sure you all have heard of patient navigators in the health centers, but they're actually doing community health navigators. So they're taking, having these CBOs not only provide the education, helping people that don't have signed up for coverage, sign up for coverage, and then linking them to a PCP. So they're actually doing that next step, and we're looking at that now. It's a 4-year project, and hopefully we'll have results in the next couple of years. I'm sorry I got flustered at the end because it's the 1-minute mark. So that's it for us.